helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. It's been a week since the midterm elections, and while the results are not fully known, a look at what we do know gives us a general idea of the direction the American people want this nation to go. I don't know if this is what the majority of Americans want, or even that a majority of those who voted considered this direction, but I think it proves George Washington's warning was correct. Party politics is its own frightful despotism. I think this recent election shows that our attachment to political parties seems to outweigh our love of freedom. After all, if so many people are so dissatisfied with the direction this country is going, why did we vote for the same type of people to point the way for the next 2 years? I don't know. Maybe Albert Einstein was correct. The American people, as a group, are insane. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And I'm trying to take some time, kind of back away from the emotions, back away from the rhetoric, and just look at a whole at the direction the American people have chosen for the next 2 years. Not what they hoped or what they prayed for, but what actual choices they made. See, a look at recent polls, even the polls that came out just before the election, shows that on average, each poll is a little different, somewhere between, 65 and 85, 90% of the American people say they're dissatisfied with the direction the nation is going. And I find it interesting because there's a lot of different reactions to this. But before I get going on that, I want you to remember the basis, what I think the warning that we got from Mr. Washington and the importance of learning from this. I mean, in his farewell address, George Washington said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, is its own frightful despotism." But he went on. He says, "But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than its competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty." And I think, to me, that is, Occam's razor, the simplest answer, the one with the fewest assumptions, is probably right. Which makes you think that this desire, this animosity, this spirit of revenge from party dissension is not only leading us into despotism, I'd say it led us into despotism, but it's inclining us to seek security in tyranny just to keep things, just to find some solution. Now, I'm not talking about the partisan question of the election. I try to eschew the politics, the political party aspect, at least as much as possible when you're dealing with elections nowadays. There are plenty of people out there that are pointing to why, the fact that the Republicans didn't have a mass wave election means that the Democrat policies are what everybody wants. And on the same side, you've got people saying, oh no, the Republicans wanted, have what people want, but the Democrats tarred and feathered. I'm not focusing on that. See, I'm looking at something different. I want to look at history. Patrick Henry said, "I know of no way of judging the future but by the past." So if the if the numbers are correct, and that in general there was not a massive change to the American people didn't decide on a massive change to the structure, to the people who are leading us into the future, well, then they must be fairly satisfied with what they've had in the past, right? If the American people were truly unhappy with with what's been going on in the past, especially the past 2 years, well, they would have made a huge change, wouldn't they? In fact, that's what a lot of pundits and poll watchers expected, that the American people would be so upset with what happened over the last couple of years that they would, in waves, throw out the donkeys and bring in the elephants. So what is it over the... But that didn't happen. So I have to ask, what is it over the last 2 years that the American people are, if not excited for, at least willing to put up with? Now, I've got a lot of territory to cover, but let's start here. Shortly before the election, two leaders of a group called True the Vote, they refer to themselves as an election integrity group, well, they released from jail. Why were they put in jail? Well, there is a court case going on around a company called Konik, a Michigan-based election management software company. And their founder was recently arrested, allegedly for stealing poll worker data and hosting their information on servers in China. Now, Konik sued True the Vote for defamation, which is why these two were asked to testify and asked to identify who else had granted them access to this information. Apparently, one of them, Phillips, was shown information by a confidential FBI informant. Now, they didn't hand over the data. They simply showed it to them, apparently on a laptop in a hotel room. Now, the judge ordered these two people to reveal the identities of people who allegedly accessed information from this company called Konik. They refused, and the judge slapped them with a contempt order. Now, they filed their appeal, Engelberg and Phillips, saying that the confinement order represents a clear abuse of discretion and a manifest miscarriage of justice. Petitioners pray that this court enter an order releasing them from the district court's draconian order of detention for refusing to identify a federal confidential informant in open court whose identity in any event has no bearing on the merits of this defamation case hinging on competing accounts of alleged historical events. So the judge let them go. The Superior Court overruled the Circuit Court overruled the District Court. But think of what that means in America. These two people spent time in jail because a judge was fishing for information not relevant to the case. And it was only the fact that other judges happened to be see that these two people are free. Don't you wish that would happen to, say, the January 6th people incarcerated? And in some cases, reporting really cruel and unusual punishment, that they would get the day where someone would say, this is ridiculous, let them go. Or what about the media that's been promoting this idea that, well, even though exit polling shows that most voters' top concern was inflation, CNN is still complaining that, that's not what it is. It's a threat to democracy. That's what people's real concern is. Really? We don't know what our own concerns are? Media has to tell us what we are to be concerned about, and that's what people are okay with. The media telling you what should and should not be important. I mean, CNN's Dana Bash whined over the fact that the threat to democracy was nowhere in the top five issues in the exit polling. In other words, the media seems to be disconnected from reality, and when reality slaps them in the face, they say, pay no attention to the actual people. We know what's better. We know what the truth is. Listen to us. That's not freedom or liberty. That is it's a dictatorship. It's a fascist state where you're not allowed to make up your own opinions. You're expected to toe whatever the party line is. Or what about those who have been complaining about election deniers and how dare the Republicans question all of this and then turn around and say, well, we can't say that what happens tonight is a fair and equitable election. We see that was MSNBC's Jason Johnson. He went on to say, the level of voter suppression is beyond anything we saw in 2018. Really? Even watching while voter turnout is higher than any time before, that's evidence of voter suppression? Or is it the fact that you didn't get the votes that you thought you were going to get? Or while we're on MSNBC's, how about Joy Reid saying that Miami-Dade, especially Latinos, trended Republican not because, well, the people were unhappy with Democratic policies. Oh, no. If you disagree with the Democrats, you must have been lied to. You're just too stupid to figure it out. Is that what the American people want? Now, in all of this, and again, there's plenty. Again, the news media, the media, they're free to say whatever they want. I want them to say this. I want people to look at this and realize these people are bat guano crazy. But there's one thing that's been that I've been thinking about for the last several months, and believe it or not, this is probably the only time I'm going to talk about an actual race and candidates. Really, Pennsylvania, the two best people, the only two people you could find to serve in the United States Senate, is a TV doctor and a stroke victim. A stroke victim, by the way, that truly showed his impairment live on television with his inability to, he needed a assistance to understand the question. Now, I want to be fair. My father had a stroke several years ago. One of the problems he had was processing verbal language. I'm familiar with this. I've been dealing with this with my father for years. Thankfully, he's gotten better. And I do pray that Mr. Fetterman gets better as well. But is this really the best person you can find to sit in the Senate to advise and help advising and consent to the president's decisions about treaties and appointments? Really? I mean, this tells me a lot about Pennsylvania, that you would rather have a stroke victim that hasn't recovered yet than a TV doctor. Or is it simply that you would take any donkey over any elephant, regardless of who it is? And then you wonder why you're dealing with, and again, this is Pennsylvania, right? Don't they have coal and oil that this man wants to get rid of? This magical green energy that doesn't really exist? Let's kill babies. Let's defund the police in cities like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia that have fairly high crime rates. This is why I pay so little attention to what people say and so much attention to what people do. It's one of the reasons why, one, I'm very hesitant. I don't endorse people. I may endorse policies, but I don't endorse people. But when people do come to me asking for my vote, I don't ask them to give me their party platform or their stance. I start with one very simple question. Well, it's simple, but it's not easy to answer. I ask them, show me when you have upheld your oath to support the Constitution of the United States when it cost you something, or the Constitution of the state, if it's a state office, when it cost you something. Now, about 90% of the time, I get some rhetoric or some party platform plank. I get words, not actions. Now, sometimes a certain percentage I do get. Maybe somebody who said, well, I raised my right hand and I took an oath to defend this Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I served in the military. I'll give them a chance, especially if they've never served in political office before. But it's rare to find somebody that says, no, I did something. I looked at this policy and it was unconstitutional, and I did something. I looked at this policy and said, we must do this because the Constitution requires it. And even though my party was against it and my leadership was against it and many of my people were against it, I did it because it was the constitutional thing. To me, that would be a man or woman of character and someone I could trust to exercise my power in my name. But we don't look for that anymore, do we? We're more worried about donkeys and elephants. Or goodies that are going to be sent home, or whether or not they support our policy or our preferences, than whether or not those things are actually constitutional. It reminds me of a line from the Declaration of Independence. All experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That would describe to me the 2022 midterm elections. Now, I want to give you some examples. What if we can judge the future by the past? Well, then let's take a look at some recent events from the past and see what it tells us we can expect over the next 2 years. But before I do, I've got to take a break, and I want to remind you to look at HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell is a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. They have all sorts of products. One, you know, my wife loves it. My daughter loves it. It's called REM Sleep. It is the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. Helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply so you can wake refreshed. And it comes in an easy-to-use travel-ready gel pack. Just go to HealthyCell.com, fill out your order, and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, and you'll get 25% off your first order. So again, go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, make sure you use that code out loud at checkout, and they'll give you 25% off your very first order.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. And today we're observing America's long march away from liberty. Now, I forgot to mention before the break, you know, I was talking about Pennsylvania and the fact that it's not a Democrat versus Republican. The best two people that Pennsylvanians could find to try and get to the U.S. Senate was a TV doctor and a stroke victim. But then I shouldn't be really surprised because Pennsylvania also elected as a state representative a dead man. Yeah, Tony DeLuca died about a month ago from lymphoma. He was age 85, and that's sad, and I do offer my condolences to his family. But apparently they couldn't get another name on the ballot, so the people of his state district in Pennsylvania elected a dead man. That to me shows the power of party politics in state elections and the power that the party holds over so many of the people. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, which Einstein defined as insanity. But what can we expect over at least the next 2 years until we get the chance to do this all over again? Well, let's start with vaccine propaganda. See, there've been, after all the hype over COVID, a disease where the average death rate was, 0.02%, where the death rate in the most effective demographic was still 0.2%, 1.2%, something. It was small numbers. We had to have an experimental vaccine thrown at the American people. We had to ignore the effective tests involving hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and a myriad of other long-used and known to be safe treatments. No, we couldn't have those because then we couldn't have an emergency. So we rush out this COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine, which are not really vaccines, by the way. And of course, it's funny how many people said we can't talk about the dangers because, that will make people vaccine hesitant, which to me seems to be completely backwards. If something is dangerous, don't you want to warn people? I mean, take the example of, skydiving. Let's say we want to endorse skydiving and we completely ignore any of the dangers involved in skydiving or rock climbing or any other activity you want to consider. But if you say we're not going to warn people about this because we don't want them to be hesitant, we don't do that for anything else. I think at the times I've had to sign a waiver that says, I will not hold you responsible if I'm injured or killed. But we don't do that for a disease, an experimental treatment, an experimental vaccine that is not a vaccine that does not stop the spread. No, what do? We watch while government besmirch those, blame the unvaccinated. Was it Biden said that it was an epidemic of the unvaccinated when 70% of the people in the hospital were actually vaccinated? We had a media campaign of just endless litanies of lies. We had people calling ivermectin horse paste. It's been used in humans for 60 years, and suddenly it's horse paste because there's a variation, a dosage that's used in horses. We had people that were supposedly trusted messengers, and we ignored any counterfactual information. And for the most part, the people that did this at the government level, they got reelected. And if not them personally, then people of the same ilk. So we can easily expect for the next 2 years more mandates, more pressure to be a medical guinea pig, to ignore or suppress the information that would that shows the dangers of the vaccine or the lack of effectiveness of the vaccine. We can expect more CDC recommendations to put this on more quote-unquote vaccination schedules. We can expect more pressure for people to be vaccinated at both the state and federal level. Why? Well, because we told the people that did this to us, hey, yeah, no problem. You won't suffer any real consequences for it. We'll have further pressure to forgive the harms done by lockdown. They want amnesty. Try that the next time you get a speeding ticket. Oh, I didn't mean to. I just want amnesty. Doesn't work that way, does it? Think of the harms, lockdowns. We have evidence that the children are behind in their education, that cancer patients didn't get early treatment. And they all say, well, it was necessary. Why? There's no evidence it was necessary. There's no evidence that the lockdown stopped the spread. In fact, there's some evidence that it helped it spread within families because, well, now you're in close proximity with your family as well. And now that we are finding out more and more the actual harms, the actual malfeasance behind this, the ignoring of scientific data, the unwillingness to actually run tests to make sure that something is safe and effective before you implement it, to actually look at the scientific data. Did lockdowns help? Again, for a disease that has a gross death rate of something like 0.02%, or is it 0.2%? I lost track. And now that they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, suddenly, oh, we want amnesty. We didn't know. Baloney. If you didn't know, you shouldn't do it. But they did. And now that they've been caught, and now there's a chance they're going to punish it, now they want amnesty. And guess what? There'll be more calls for it. And you know what I expect? I expect a lot of people to get amnesty. Walensky, Fauci, Biden, who's the guy over HHS? Mayorkas. I expect them to get effective amnesty because the American people just voted to say, you know what? We don't really want to hold these people accountable. We like being told to shut down. We like being treated like serfs, like we have no ability to think for ourselves, that we must be told what to do. We like that. We like being told what we are and are not allowed to know. You remember California? Remember Governor Newsom signed a law that said if a doctor provides information that's not approved by government, they can lose their medical license? He won. The man who locked California down, who demanded people wear masks while he went around unmasked, that demanded you not go about your business while he went out to dinners with people, that shut down small businesses, but let bigger businesses and donors, they could keep going, and he won. So apparently, California likes being a communist state. For years, they've been treated to this communist legislation, and they voted to have more of it. Damn your rights, damn your liberty, damn the Constitution. We want government control of every aspect of our lives. You're not going to be allowed to buy gasoline-powered cars. And by the way, you're not going to be able to charge your electric cars because they don't have the electrical power for it. That's what the people of California said they want. Or at best, they said, we want a Democrat more than our freedom. That's what they said. So what else can we expect for the next couple of years? What else do the American people vote to put up with? Well, the Biden administration wasn't on the ballot, but it looks like at best we're still going to be very closely divided in the House and in the Senate, and which means, you know, it's going to be just like it was the last couple of years. But consider this. A former White House National Climate Advisor, Gina McCarthy, said that she expects John Kerry who's Biden's climate envoy, to figure out how he can work around Congress and move forward with his plans to basically remake the entire energy system in the United States around the will of the American people. Yeah, see, he wants to go in and set up a carbon credit system, something that the representatives of the American people have rejected time and time again. So he's just going to figure out how to get around Congress. We don't care about the Constitution. We have an agenda to uphold. And guess what? The American people said, yeah, we like that way of doing things. Obama used to say he had a pen and a phone. Biden just has an executive order. And the people in his administration are more than happy to write law outside of the will of the American people, to stick a finger in the eye of the concept of self-government and say, we'll just make it up as we go along. Aren't you happy with that? Aren't you just thrilled that the body that could defund this, they didn't get a change. Even the people that were elected are they really that drastically different than the swamp creatures that were there before? So yeah, we have another 2 years of dictatorial rule out of the White House, ignoring Congress, getting around Congress. And of course, that'll also lead to more partisan bickering and name-calling and finger-pointing. Aren't you thrilled? Because that's what the American people voted for. Oh, by the way, your energy prices, yeah, they're not getting anybody any better either. You see, just before the election, Joe Biden said, we're going to be shutting down these coal plants all across America and having wind and solar. A pipe dream. He argued it was cheaper to generate from wind and solar. Well, I guess so if you completely ignore how much it costs to actually set up wind and solar farms. Oh, and the fact that wind and solar don't generate enough power to replace coal. Oh, and by the way, they have to be backed up by fossil fuels because, well, they don't always generate, right? The wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. So the same policies that have taken gasoline from, was it $2.63 to $3.50 across the country that saw a high of over $5 a gallon? Yeah, we're going to get more of that because the only entity that could have stopped this, that had the legal authority to stop this, i.e. Congress, we decided to leave pretty much the way it was. And again, it's not a question of donkeys versus elephants. It's the same people with the same agendas that keep getting elected over and over and over again. And if you do the same thing repeatedly, expecting a different outcome, well, I guess that means we're all insane. I mean, Biden is turning the entire executive branch into one giant environmental social governance movement. I mean, we've already seen the attacks by the FBI and Department of Justice. I've talked about them before. How about Federal Reserve and Treasury prioritizing climate change and racial equity over, I don't know, monetary policy? What happened to, hey, Congress tells you where to check, cut the checks, you cut the checks. That's the job of the Treasury. Not to make sure that you're following some climate agenda that boss man wants. Or the Department of Justice's plan to prioritize environmental justice over just plain justice, like the preamble to the Constitution says was its purpose. Or stock market regulators mandating green accounting among companies. Or bank and pension regulators that are promoting these ESG policies. And if you're looking for the courts to save you, good luck. Because the courts, for the most part, well, they seem to trim the wings just a little bit around their most flagrant violations of the Constitution. But that's, you know, that's spitting in the ocean. You know, people have made a big deal of the fact that the Supreme Court, or the court said that the EPA couldn't determine how states generate power. But that's nothing compared to the regulations that the EPA and the rest of the executive branch impose on the rest of us. And for the most part, the court said, well, you know, if there's a compelling government interest. See, every time, you know, they look at scrutiny. Ladies and gentlemen, every time you hear scrutiny related to a court case, understand that is a theory under judicial review of how hard the federal government has to work to violate the Constitution, to violate the law. See, the Constitution says that you are to be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures. Oh, but if the government has a compelling government interest, we can ignore the Fourth Amendment and let the government do whatever it wants. It says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. But if the government has a compelling government interest, well, we can let that one slide too. The courts aren't going to save us. Because the same people that we've been putting in office to do the same stupid stuff are the ones picking the federal judges that we expect to protect the we expect government to protect us from government. Good luck with that. But that's exactly what the American people said last week on Election Day. Even in the states where they changed things, for the most part, they didn't change them that much. We're not seeing a wave of constitutionally sound people being offered for office, much less winning office. No, we are hiring the same communist, fascist, dictatorial people to do the same from the same party, you know, the party sycophants to do the same job over and over again. And for some ridiculous reason, we think, no, this time they're going to do it right. And then in 2 years, we're going to go through this all over again. Now, there's a couple other areas that we voted to keep in place indirectly, but I have to take a break before we get there. I do want to remind you that America Out Loud has a lot of different voices where you can get a lot of information from a lot of different points of view. There are plenty of stories and articles and podcasts and videos, not just for you to use, but for you to share. And please do so. It's by sharing this information, by showing, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, that we all help to secure the blessings of liberty.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about America's fast march away from liberty. We've talked already about the not the details of the vote, but as in general, the American people have voted to pretty much keep the status quo. Yeah, there are some changes in there here and there, but for the most part, it's the same old tune. We're just singing it again. So we can expect more propaganda around vaccines, more mandates, more lockdowns, more shutdowns, more dictatorial control from state and federal governments to tell you how to live your life, more dodging the consequences of the terrible decisions that they've made. We can expect more bureaucrats to figure out how to get around Congress and do what they want to do, even after the American people have said no. We can expect fuel and oil and electricity to get more and more expensive, because those are the policies that the Biden administration is putting in place, including turning the federal government into a giant group of ESG activists. And there's a whole other realm that we haven't talked about yet, and that is this whole idea of pro-life versus pro-death. We've already seen the DOJ going after people who protest outside of pro-life centers for any excuse they can find. Well, a recent father, Paul Vaughn of Tennessee, talked about how the FBI showed up with guns pointed at the door, banging on the house, yelling and screaming to take him to arrest him. For, what did they arrest him for? Conspiracy against rights secured by the FACE Act, a absolute violation of the Constitution in itself. And he's talking. Because he's not the only one that's being arrested for actually, standing up for the life of unborn babies and doing so within the law. Now, of course, it was interesting because a reporter actually asked Karine Jean-Pierre, the Biden press secretary, about locking up pro-life activists, and her response, well, clearly that's not true. It's false. It's a lie. No, ma'am, it's not. The FBI is locking up pro-life activists. One father got locked up for defending his son against an aggressive pro-abortion activist under this fake FACE Act. So you can expect more of that. You can expect the DOJ to focus on all sorts of cases except those where a pro-life activist or a pro-life organization was the victim. Remember, after the Dobbs case was leaked, after the opinion was leaked, and then again, after it was actually fully released, after it was leaked, we saw pro-life centers vandalized, pro-life churches vandalized, some cases firebombed. But is the FBI focusing on that? No, they're labeling parents that speak up at school boards as domestic violent extremists, but not the people that are actually bombing pro-life centers, or firebombing to be specific. But in the middle of all this, not only is the DOJ focusing on, again, a fake FACE Act. This is not something Congress had the legal authority to pass. What is the DOJ paying attention to rather than the vandalism and attacks on pro-life centers? Now, understand, I don't think that the DOJ should be involved in any of these things. But look at where their attention is. They prosecuted a West Virginia man. They indicted him for buying ginseng root across state lines. The DOJ is investigating a Massachusetts school for not including the Mayan language in their schooling. Or the Ohio woman who's going to spend a year in jail and up to $100,000 fine because she sold a marbled crayfish because it's listed as an invasive species. The Department of Justice fined Kohl's and Walmart millions of dollars for advertising rayon as bamboo. Where's the investigations into the pro-life attacks? Were any of them conducted across state lines? Not that it should make that a federal offense, but there'd at least be a justification. So we're going to see the continued politicization of the Department of Injustice and the Federal Bureau of Intimidation to go after people that are politically opposed to the progressive movement. We're going to continue to see people medically kidnapped. A Florida couple had their sons taken from them after seeking a diagnosis from Boston Children's Hospital. See, the parents are accused of, Munchausen by proxy. The idea of, that's a mental disorder where caretakers fake someone's illness. Now, this Florida couple was visiting Massachusetts. They've been trying to find out why. Their older son had some issues, issues clearing his bowels, and they've been trying to figure what's going on. Now, after running test after test after test, the boy's Florida doctor said, we know what's going on. See, he has a genetic condition. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. And all it takes is some enzyme therapy to help his body because it's not producing all the enzymes it needs, and this should take care of the problem. Well, they are on a trip to Massachusetts when Boston Children's Hospital doctors decided, oh, no, this is not an enzyme problem. This is parental abuse. And Massachusetts stole the kids. I said stole the kids, right? Because where's the probable cause? See, before they can be seized, there must be a warrant with probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, specifically describing who's to be seized. Where is it? See, what this shows is that hospitals and governments believe they own your children. You're just the unpaid caretaker, and it's their job to overrule what you think is best, to overrule the doctors that you see. No, if we think there's a problem, we can simply sweep in because they think they're the parents. So you can expect more of that over the next couple of years. What else can we expect? Well, we can certainly expect more spying on the American people. You know, it's funny. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about what's called the third party doctrine. This idea that when the Constitution says you're to be secure from an unreasonable search, that means the ability of government to collect data on you. Right? Oh, well, if that data is publicly available, it's not an unwarranted search. They conflate search with access. See, the whole idea of an unwarranted search means the search must be warranted, not the method of performing the search, the reason for the search. Now, what the government's been doing is they've been doing things like buying information from third parties, information that you willingly give up when you use things like smartphones and apps. Then they, of course, they've had the banks, right? So now the government wants to use the banks to track every transaction they can. Remember, it used to be if you deposited more than $10,000, the bank had to report it. Why? Was there because depositing a large sum of money is probable cause of a crime? No, because, well, you might be doing something wrong. We have no probable cause you've done something wrong, but you might be doing something wrong, so this is what we're going to do. Of course, Congress tried to get that cranked down to, what, $800? And that fell through. But you know they're going to keep cranking that number down farther and farther. Oh, and don't forget the digital dollar, right? The CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. Yeah, that way the federal government can watch every transaction from a stick of gum to buying a house will not only be tracked by the federal government, but approved by the federal government. So we'll have more. We live in a surveillance state. We'll ignore the Constitution. We let them search just because it's outside and available. Not the reasonableness of the search, it's the reasonableness of the data that they're searching that they focus on. And again, the courts have not only allowed this, they've promoted it. So we can expect more and more of the government spying on the American people. We can expect government schools. These are no longer public schools. These are government schools. We can expect government schools to continue to spend an enormous amount of time teaching your children to be perverted little racists. A recording from August of this year captured teacher training at, this happens to be the Stevens Point School District's Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion seminar of some sort, a taxpayer-funded schools. Now, in that training, they were told to integrate so-called human growth and development. Yet what they're really talking about is gender-bending ideology in all school subjects, all of them, math, reading, science. What does math have to do with what gender you think you are? And oh, by the way, the teachers are told, well, if parents complain, just blame the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. It's their fault. We'll have more promotion of boys in the girls' bathrooms or speech police for teachers and students for the rejection of reality and the rejection of history to promote an agenda. And again, government schools across the country are partnering with a group called Newsela. Now, supposedly what they're doing is just dumbing down news articles to make it easier for children to understand. No, they're propagandizing children. And that is being pumped into your school, into your child's head, including the idea of you can't trust the parents, don't tell your parents, don't let your parents be involved or know, your parents are idiots. We can expect a lot more of that. So if that's been the past 2 years, and we look at the vote, at least where it stands today, I have to say, the American people have spoken. They don't mind. They don't mind this tyranny. They don't mind this continued march away from rights and the Constitution and freedom of liberty because they voted to do the same thing over and over again. So in 2 years, when we go through the same thing again, only this time it'll be a presidential election, so it'll be 10 times louder. When we hear all the recriminations and the backbiting and the accusations and the focus on anything but the actual Constitution or the policies, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves. Now, you may not approve of this, but as a whole, the American people have decided. And in many states, they've decided to go full communist. California, New York, remember the New York shutdowns? You remember putting sick people in the nursing homes with grandma and the thousands of people that died? You know, someone who's promoting the same things got reelected. And Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, ready to do this, the lockdowns all over again, to shut you down, lock you up. And that's what the American people voted for. See, when people ask me, what can we do? And I tell them, don't focus on Washington. Focus locally. Fix your county, your city. Then worry about your state. And once you've done that, D.C. takes care of itself. But looking across the nation, was there a real change in school boards? Was there a real change in county offices? Was there any real change in most of the states? Not really. So we shouldn't be surprised that there wasn't much of a change in the House or the Senate. Because the American people apparently believe this evil is sufferable. We can put up with it. We can deal with it. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to make a big deal. We'd rather sit here and worry about our donkeys and our elephants and whine and complain and point. Look, it's all their fault. It's all their fault. Well, you keep bringing in the same people over and over and over again. I understand, a Nancy Pelosi or a Chuck Schumer, they represent their constituents. That's the mindset of San Francisco and the state of New York as a whole. I understand that. I don't understand why, but it's obvious that it's true. But if America as a whole wants to be the land of the free, we have to be brave enough to make those distinctions when it comes time to vote again. So since we've looked at the past, now let's take a quick look to the future. You've got 2 years, 2 years when we should be educating ourselves and our neighbors. As John Jay said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country, teach the rising generation to be free. We've got 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. What are you doing? If all you're doing is pounding out messages on Facebook and Twitter, you're not helping. Are you reading and studying the Constitution? If you need help, just go to constitutionstudy.com. I've got articles, I've got tools, I've got books. Maybe check out constitutionscholars.com, my other site, where people are actually training to be students and scholars of the Constitution, and better yet, teachers. Are you meeting with groups? Are you finding other people that are interested, reading and studying and then discussing and debating? And what do we do? Or just sitting back and waiting for the politicians to fix this? That's what's gotten us into this mess. So what are you going to do over the next 2 years? Are you going to be quiet? Are you going to play elephants versus donkeys? Are you going to whine and scream but not do anything? I'm not as concerned with what you say. I'm concerned with what you do. And if your work does not include reading and studying the Constitution, learning what your rights are so you can be prepared to defend and assert them, then we'll do this all over again in 2 years. We'll wonder what happened, why did it happen, because we refuse to learn from our history. If you want tomorrow to be different, you must do something different than yesterday. That includes at the ballot box. So let's use these 2 years wisely. Now, I want to remind you that you can hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Listen on our website or our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Also, all my shows go to podcasts a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe, rate the show. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links on the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But please, you must share this information if you're to help us all share the blessings of liberty across this great nation.